Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As we celebrate Sid Harmon and his 100th birthday, otherwise known as the Sidtennial, we are taking time to look back on those amazing 100 years.
Now here's today's sports hero, Max McGee.
This clown.
Sid Hartman, the Oracle. Sid, welcome to the Cannon Mess.
A bunch of jerks. Come on, grow up.
I mean, to me, this job is not work. I mean, I love what I'm doing.
In part one, we went back to the streets of North Minneapolis, where Sid Hartman grew up. In part two, Sid starts his career in newspapers, a career that remarkably continues to this day, over 80 years later. The column that made Sid famous debuted on September 11th, 1945. A news and notes rundown of what was happening at the University of Minnesota.
Back, and he fumbles it and kicks it along the ground. It's in the end zone and Minnesota recovers. It's a touchdown for Minnesota.
But that column was born out of years pitching papers on the street corner. For many children, that paper route was the first chance to put some money in their pockets. At 8 years old, Sid Hartman got his start too, thanks to a used bike.
Well, we didn't have too much in our house, and I was pretty ambitious, and I was about 8 years old when I got my first used bike. Bought it for about $10 and started going downtown, and there was a guy on the old Tribune by the name of Joe Katzman who took a real liking to me. And the next thing I know, I had some of the best corners in town, 5th, 6th, and 7th and Nicollet at one time, plus a route of unbelievable papers. At one time, when I was 13 years old, I was delivering about 700-800 papers every day.
Certainly the world of downtown Minneapolis in the early 1930s was filled with odd characters, including many that helped him later in his career, as Sid fondly remembers.
In those days, I was about 10 years old, and they had a Kirk's pool hall right in the alley. And Halsey Hall would come in there, and he would bet 25 cents, but he'd only put in 12 and a half cents. And he'd bet on two to fives. If he won back, he'd win 6 cents. And we had a guy in there, Adolf, he used to mark the scoreboard. He'd put the chalk up his nose while he was waiting for the next score. And old man Kirk must have run me out of that place 50 times. And finally he gave up. He says, come on and sit down, you punk.
Famously, in that era, Sid Hartman ran in circles populated by gangsters, bootleggers, and they were some of his best customers.
There was an old restaurant named Jack Doyle's.
Jack Doyle.
Between 4th and 5th and Hennepin. The old Andrews Hotel was next to it. And upstairs of Jack Doyle's was a betting parlor. That was before Humphrey cleaned the town up. Everything was wide open. And I remember guys like Kid Ken, who I love dearly, and I think gets a lot of bad raps for things he never did. He took care of his family like nobody.
But a gangster.
Well, I don't think he was a gangster. In my opinion, I don't think he was a gangster. I think because a lot of people are jealous and envious of him because they had the... they were bootleggers and got caught. There were a lot of people out in Wayzata who were bootleggers, and they had the connections, and nobody bothered them. But I think as far as Kit Can goes, I don't think he did a lot of things people accused him of. But I go up on that second floor. The papers would come off the press about 4 o'clock. This was the late edition. I go up there. Guys like Chickie Berman, Barney Berman, Zolly Dworsky, I remember all these names.
Ben Berger, part of that crowd?
Ben Berger wasn't there, no. Morris Chaffin was, though.
Right.
And I'd sell 10 papers, and I'd get 50 cents to a buck from those guys for those papers. And the papers were 2 cents in those days.
Sid lived in a world of prohibition. His selling of newspapers put him in some of the back rooms and gambling halls that existed in the Minneapolis underworld. In 1997, he talked about those places and those illegal activities with Roger Erickson and Jack Farrell.
That store on 7th Street, Damon Runyon had nothing on that store.
Isn't that the truth? God, what a great bunch there was. No, Ernie Fleagle and Jack Dempsey, when he was in town, would be
Max
in there.
Max Winter. Every gangster and character in town would be in that place.
It was fabulous.
And he had a back room, boy, and I was privileged to be in that back room someday.
Now, did you know some of those people he's talking about, Jack?
Yes.
Well, now those gangsters now... were they different from the
so-called gangsters?
Well, they kind of had. Did they have a control of, say, certain industries or something, or what was going on there?
Well, they had the liquor thing. You know, at one time the Blumenfeld.
This is before your time, of course, Jack.
Blumenfeld family.
Yeah, is it Blumenfeld?
They had the only liquor store, two liquor stores beyond Grant Street.
Yeah, outside the patrol limits.
Outside of patrol limits, they had the one on Loring Liquor on a corner of 13th or 14th and Nicollet and Lake Street.
Right.
And I think they printed the money at Lake Street.
But yep. These were the nice gangsters. They didn't go and bump other gangsters off and all that sort of stuff.
Not to my knowledge.
Not to my knowledge.
They were a rough and tumble bunch.
But Sid, you knew you used to deliver papers to some of these people.
Here's the greatest deal. My folks were dying for money, see. And I'd go up. There used to be a restaurant called Jack Doyle's between 4th and 5th in Hennepin, right next door to the old Andrews Hotel. And downstairs was a restaurant. Before Hubert Humphrey closed the town out, upstairs was all the gambling, horse racing, all that kind of stuff. And I'd go up there, and papers were 2 cents in those days.
Now, you're a kid about what age at this time?
10 years old, 11 years old. And they'd give me 50 cents to a buck. Now, instead of bringing that money back home, I'd go down to the fixed crap games in the alley and lose all that money.
At 10 years of age.
And then have to go out and what we called in those days bluejack around the Loring Park area, yell extra, extra, extra about something that wasn't even happening.
Bluejack, what's that?
That's what they called it, when you went out and screamed extra, extra and sold papers.
That was before CNN and all these
gave
you immediate news.
You're right.
The paper put out an extra.
Yeah, that alley, boy, was something. Never forget, it was a truck strike, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an elevator where all the cops would play poker. And this elevator,
in the elevator?
This little small elevator. Not an elevator you're talking about. A little small elevator to bring papers up and stuff like that. Some like the elevators they build on, they use on these buildings.
They take the elevator and stop between first and second floor and nobody could bother them.
Yeah.
Those were the days when odds for the whole country were set here.
Absolutely. Joe Kassman and Leo Hirschfield.
That's right.
Are you serious? They set the odds for the whole country right here in the
Gorham building on 7th Street and 2nd Avenue North. I don't know if that building is still there. I don't think it is.
I think that was done here till about the 1950s when Las Vegas took over as the odds center. But all the odds and the point spreads and all that stuff on all the games
all right
set
here.
Right here
yeah.
in the whole country.
Sid, as we've learned now in his 100 years with us, is an aggressive journalist. He was also an aggressive seller of newspapers.
Then, in those days, you had no heaters in cars, and I was about 17 years old, and I had a news run for the old Tribune, get up 5 o'clock in the morning and deliver those papers, those boxes. I was the first guy to have those boxes that got on the corners all over the place.
Is that right?
First one, that was an experiment in northern Minneapolis. And talk about that. There used to be a cop on a motorcycle by the name of Frank Andre. And I used to always... The boxes were on one side of the street, and I'd go on the wrong side of the street, put the papers in the boxes, and he must have tagged me 10 times.
They've always been after you, Sid.
Finally, one day he says, do anything you want. I'm not tagging you no more.
By high school, Sid had graduated from selling papers to some new responsibilities.
When I was still in high school, I got what you call a news run, and which was a very important job in those days when times were tough, delivering papers, these boxes out in the street, you know, you see.
Right.
Delivering papers, getting up 5 in the morning, and delivering papers to those boxes, and I had that. And then one day, when I was doing the circulation thing, we had a circulation director by the name of Louis Mose, who was a very sports-minded guy, and he said to me one day, Cullum's looking for some young kid to work in sports. Why don't you do both? So The next thing I did, he hired me. $23 every 2 weeks is what I was being paid. I was there 4 weeks, and the most important job on a desk is the slot. All of a sudden, Cullum says, you're in the slot. Well, I knew nothing. But the thing that really helped me was the old-time guys on the copy desk who I'd befriended when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, like Emil Krieg and Mr. Earl Wheeler and other people like that, really helped me. They were putting out the paper. I was getting credit for it. Just got a lucky break. And then the minute it got down to two newspapers in this town, the Morning Tribune and the Afternoon Star Journal was at the time, Charlie Johnson, who I was like his son. Charlie Johnson used to say, I don't have any kids, but I have one boy. I was over at his house for dinner all the time. Immediately gave me a job. And the next thing I know, I was there 4 or 5 years, and he appointed me sports editor of the morning paper. I did that for about 12, 15 years. At one time, I was writing a column 7 days a week, covering the university and running the sports department. I finally got too much and gave that thing up and just wrote the column.
Then, the Star Journal bought the third Minneapolis paper, the Tribune. Minneapolis was down to just one paper, and Sid was suddenly out of a job. He tried his hand at a slightly different business before he was rescued back into the newspaper business.
Yeah, I mean, my life as a youngster was great, but the one thing I'll never forget was when the Tribune closed in the 40s, I just bought a brand new car just out of high school, and bought a brand new Chevrolet for $640 from Max Grossman, whose son, Bud Grossman, has done very well, and all his kids have.
My dad worked for him.
Yeah, my dad worked for him, too. Did some delivering for him and stuff like that. And, boy, here the paper closed. I got the payments. How am I going to do it? I know I was crying like a baby, but they rescued me at the paper and gave me a news run back, and everything was fine. And for a while, I thought I'd wind up selling Hoover vacuum cleaners. I did do it for about 2 weeks until I went back to the paper. But I owe so much to two guys, Charlie Johnson and Dick Cullum. If it wasn't for those two guys, I don't know where I'd be today.
Sid's first beat on the sports desk was, of course, the University of Minnesota.
That is my number one thing. I love the University of Minnesota. I did not go to the University of Minnesota. I didn't go to college, Dark. I look around that newsroom at the University at the Minneapolis Star and Tribune. Have about 350 people. Every one of those guys is some kind of Harvard, Missouri, Yale. I'm a nothing, nothing. If I walked in right now, Dark, I couldn't get a job under any circumstances.
Certainly, Sid had a different brand of journalism. Sid built relationships.
There's so much negative journalism right now, you know, that the average sports guy doesn't trust people anymore. They don't trust them anymore because they talk to them. Next thing you know, they're stabbing them in the back. And the one thing you got to do in this business, and a lot of people don't do, Dark, is this. If you write something critical about a sports figure in the paper or say something on the radio or on television, you better go down there the next day and make sure you face that guy.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing in the world. If you don't, it just festers.
As Sid's newspaper career took off, some of those old relationships led him into a side career, one that evolved what would become the NBA's most famous early franchise. We'll hear about the Minneapolis Lakers in Part 3.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.